Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This is from an unnamed student with capital letters there. Interesting.
Hi. Obviously, if you refer to this email, please don't use my name. It's difficult to find verification for some of these claims, but someone on a message board said a proctor apparently did something to their computer and they needed repairs after the test. And if I recall, someone's files got opened and or moved around. I have no idea how often these things happen or whether policies have been changed as more complaints have been submitted. Eye tracking is the main thing I find troubling because students have to sign a consent form that apparently says ProctorU can do various things with student data that have nothing to do with test administration, like sell students' personal data per the user agreement. Okay. We should probably do a little reset if you're new to the daily. We've had a couple emails recently about people worrying about ProctorU looking at the files on their computer. We had someone say, hey, I have a bunch of tax returns on my computer for clients, and I don't want these tax returns potentially exposed to ProctorU. And then we had another person write in and say, well, here's the policy. Mm-hmm. And the policy makes it explicit that, like, they can't do anything on your computer without you seeing them doing it. Whether they actually enforce that policy, whether they do things behind the scenes without us knowing, I don't think we have any way of knowing at all. But people are paranoid about it. And this unnamed student is now, like, sort of repeating anonymous internet chatter.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, the internet also thinks that the vaccine is going to give you 5G Wi-Fi and Bezos is going to track you. And I mean,
well, I mean, it is going to, that's true. But, like, some things aren't true on the internet. I agree.
Many things are not true on the internet, especially when there's no citation, no link, no, it's just like this, someone's files got opened. Okay. Well, what, who, where, what happened? Can we look
yeah,
at the
and they,
actual...
they needed repairs after the test. Well, how about a little correlation causation thing here?
I love randomly speculating. I randomly speculate on every podcast we ever do. I don't like repeating rumors, which that's what this seems like so far, right? I mean, there's nothing here besides... apparently, students have to sign a consent form that apparently says ProctorU can apparently do these things. And it's like, well, wait a second now. I mean, it's probably just some boilerplate. I don't think they give a shit what's on your computer. Okay. Some people have filed lawsuits, it continues, against remote proctoring companies, but I do not know the status of these claims. Neither do we. Because the test is recorded with a proctor observing and you go through all these checkpoints before accessing the test materials, it seems that there are perhaps too many things that students have to deal with. So this is just somebody who, you know, I appreciate you, unnamed student, for writing in, but you are panicking about nothing. Like, you don't... what?
You're panicking about things you've randomly read on the internet, presumably.
Yes.
Reddit. And
like, are you also an anti-vaxxer? I'm asking sincerely. Because this is what anti-vaxxers sound like. They're just like repeating unsubstantiated claims from the internet. They're genuinely worried, but they don't have any like concrete reason to be worried. What? Some people have filed lawsuits? What does this have to do with you? I know there are legitimate concerns because it's a remote test, but I don't see why they use eye tracking when the person's face is already on live camera and the whole time you have access to test materials gets recorded in real time. Plus, in order to take this test, students sign at least one very binding document where they promise to follow the rules or face dire consequences. What do you think about that, Ben? You've been to law school. Do you think that this is a very binding document that students are signing?
I don't think it's any more binding than any agreement that we agree to almost every day when we download some app. It's like, agree to these terms. Oh, scroll to the bottom so we can pretend that I read the agreement.
We have no idea whether anything is binding until a court gives a judgment.
You're like, oh, they actually enforced that. Yep.
If this doesn't go to an actual court and get enforced by an actual judge, and by the way, the next step after that is that, like, the sheriff has to come and take your car away from you or whatever it is, right? Like, because even when the judgment has been announced, if the damages are financial, even when the judgment is announced, you still have the choice of whether you're going to pay that amount or not.
It's not like the judge comes with you to the bank.
The sheriff might. I mean, it is possible that they could start, like, you know, remanding wages, or is that the word, remanding? Remanding wages? I don't know, whatever the word is.
I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, they can start impound, like, just taking money, impound. Yeah. Yeah, they can start taking money out of your accounts and out of your paycheck and all that shit. But I just laughed when I got to students sign at least one very binding document. It was like, tell me in one sentence that you have no clue what you're talking about without telling me you don't have any clue what you're talking about. That's what you just did right there. Because you don't have any fucking clue what a very binding document is. It's just not.
This one's semi-binding.
Yeah. Sorry. That's not a thing. Okay. If there was an option to test at a small test center, I would consider it as long as it was not a crowded room and did not have background noise.
Where is this going?
I don't know. For the writing sample, small test centers were an option, and I appreciated that. So it sounds like this is somebody who did actually take the LSAT via ProctorU, but then went in and did a writing sample at a small testing center?
That's an option. I didn't know that was an option.
I didn't know that was an option. This sounds, I don't know. I'd never heard of that before. Also, what? Why? What are you talking about? You're worried about eye tracking? Why? What? This is 2021, man. I just don't know what this person's worried about.
Well, you're worried about ProctorU, but I don't think I'd be worried about ProctorU. You got your phone, you got all this other stuff.
Yeah.
That's like way more advanced than ProctorU. ProctorU doesn't seem to have its stuff together. So
yeah, this person probably learned all this shit on Facebook.
Oh no. Not even Reddit. Or at least Reddit might have some like self-censorship.
Yeah, just you got way, way bigger problems than ProctorU. If you're worried, put on your tinfoil hat and go live in a cabin in the woods somewhere. If you want, you're welcome to do that. But it's just... you want to go to law school and be a lawyer, you're going to have to take the LSAT. Scores are up since people started taking it online. Correlation does not prove causation, but we've also heard anecdotal reports that people feel more comfortable taking it on their own computer and in the privacy of their own home.
And for only three sections.
And it's like the online LSAT so far seems to be easier than the in-person LSAT. So why are you trying to make it hard by going out of your way to try to get special treatment to take it in person? Just so that you don't have to worry about the eye tracking? I mean, it's just bizarre what people are worried about these days. Anyway, another frustration is that ProctorU requires that you be a system administrator to download their software, which may mean that you can't use a school computer or one from a library. This issue is annoying, and I think in general, most people would rather use a computer over a loaner tablet, because you can get the loaner tablet from LSAC.
Oh, this Microsoft Surface Goes.
30,000 of them or whatever it is.
Way more than that, probably.
Yeah. But so, okay. So this, I should have put this under excuse of the week on the Thinking LSAT podcast, because this is like just full of excuses. Like, look at all the different excuses that this person is piling in.
Can you take the test at a library?
But you can sometimes check out a computer from a library.
Oh, okay.
Check out a laptop from your local library. So, I mean, whatever. This person doesn't have a computer which, God, I hate to say this because I don't want to sound, you know, like an elitist or whatever, but if you don't have a computer, I think you should get a computer before you do anything else.
Like, work toward that.
Yeah, like, your intermediate goal in life is you need to have a computer. You really do. Like, you're going to be a lawyer. Lawyers have multiple computers. And I want to help you as much as I can. I don't think that straight to law school is the answer for someone who does not have a computer.
Yeah. You need, like, to take practice tests at the very minimum.
How are you going to do any of this other stuff? Like, how are you going to do law school itself if you don't have a computer? Like, are you going to really literally go to law school and only use the law school computers? I don't think you can. I think you have to have your own laptop to take exams.
You need a full ride and you need a stipend, so you should be getting a computer to give yourself the best chance at scoring a high score on the LSAT and probably a bunch of other things before you do any of that.
Yeah, I feel for this person. I don't think that their priorities are in the right place. If they seem to be putting the cart way before the horse here. Computers, you could get a computer for a couple $100. Computers these days are awesome and they're cheap, like a Chromebook or something. You can get a pretty badass machine for $250.
Yeah.
Thank you for opening a discussion on these issues. I accept the reality that everything we do online is trackable. Okay, good. But at the same time, we have to disclose all this identifying information to this proctor service, and I wish there were more privacy protections in place. Thank you, an unnamed student.
This makes me think of that quote, as corny as it is, that it's almost, I wonder if it's a prayer, but it's, the idea is like, yeah, you know, to let go of those things that you can't change. Like, yeah, you're worrying about stuff you can't affect, right? Like, do I wish there were more privacy protections in place on my phone? Yeah. Am I going to have any meaningful impact on that discussion or that process? No. So I don't think 1 ounce about it.
It's easier said than done, obviously, right?
Sure.
It's hard not to worry about the things that we can't control.
It is.
But you can't, you have no say in what Proctor U does. We don't have any say in what Proctor U does. I think we have to just at some point take it on faith that these people are trying to administer a test remotely and keep people from cheating. And so they are going to get access to your machine somehow to protect against cheating. And that's all they're trying to do. And you're going to put this in your rear view mirror. You're going to take the test and be done with it.
I don't think anything's going to happen from it.
And this happens all the time. It's not just you, unnamed student. It's everybody. Everybody worries about shit that they can't control, but you're just like, it's ineffectual, right? Cause it's just, you're panicking. You're worrying about stuff that is not at all. It's like, what else you got? Cause like, You're not doing anything about this. Nobody's doing anything about this. I mean, I guess there could be some like huge collective action or whatever, but Ben and I are not going to lead that charge. I mean, we're here telling you essentially get over it, take the test, be done with it.
Well, we're looking at things that are things you can tackle. You can tackle your LSAT score. You can get a better score and then go to school for free and save yourself substantial amounts of money. So
put all this stuff aside and start prepping more for the LSAT. I mean, what's your most recent practice test score? What kinds of questions are you missing? What is it that you're not understanding about this test? And focus on that stuff every day. And maybe just kind of, you can crowd out these paranoias or anxieties. You can crowd them out maybe by focusing on stuff that you can actually take action on.
Thanks for writing in. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.